For Sounds of Dissent, I'm Amy Grunder. A study published Wednesday in the journal Environmental Science and Technology reports high concentrations of toxic flame retardants in American homes. Scientists at Silent Spring Institute, who authored the study, have found that flame retardants in common household products like upholstered furniture, textiles, and electronics migrate into household dust and from there into our bodies. The Chicago Tribune reported that the average American is born with the highest recorded levels of flame retardants among infants in the world. The chemicals are linked to cancer, changes in DNA, hormone disruption, lowered IQ, decreased fertility, and hyperactivity. Such links are denied by chemical producers who have lobbied for years to get these chemicals into consumer products. We're joined today by Ruthann Rudell, Senior Scientist of Environmental Toxicology and Director of Research at the Silent Spring Institute, a nonprofit organization based in Newton, Massachusetts, that works to identify and break the links between toxins and women's health, especially breast cancer. Ms. Rudell is a leader in studies of environmental pollutants and women's health. Since 1995, she's focused on toxicology, risk assessment, and exposure assessment, including a focus on endocrine-disrupting compounds. We'll learn what that is in just a moment. They are chemicals that affect hormones. Ruthann Rudell, thanks for joining us today.
I'm glad to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you join us, as this study just came out on Wednesday, and I'd like to start with the study itself. Your scientists collected and analyzed dust found in California homes. What prompted this focus on household dust, and what did you find?
Sure. We have been doing research on how people are exposed to chemicals that are in consumer goods, building materials, and products. And we spend most of our time indoors. Concentrations of a lot of chemicals are actually a lot higher indoors than outdoors. And so for over a decade, we've been measuring indoor air in house dust as ways to look at how people are exposed to chemicals and consumer products. And we've focused particularly on chemicals that are known to affect hormones called endocrine disruptors. So these might be some chemicals like in plastics, like phthalates, that block androgen hormone or testosterone action, basically, or some other chemicals that cleaners that, or in lotions that mimic estrogen, or fragrance chemicals that mimic estrogen. So we, when we started this work, in fact, we were doing it in Massachusetts, and among the chemicals that we looked for a set of flame retardant chemicals called PBDEs, or polybrominated diphenyl ethers, in the house dust. And when we found them,
those are the flame retardants, right?
Those are flame retardants. Sorry if I didn't say that. And when we found them, it was the first report of these chemicals in the U.S., and they were about 10 times higher, the levels were, than a few reports that had come out of Europe.
This was in Boston, Ruthann Rudell?
This was in Cape Cod. This was Cape Cod, Massachusetts, and Silent Spring Institute was doing a big exposure study there focused on indoor exposures to hormone-active compounds. And then we expanded the study, and we went to California, and we collected some house dust samples in two different communities in the Bay Area, and we looked for the same flame retardants, these PBDE flame retardants, and to our surprise, the levels in California were another 10 times higher than the levels in Massachusetts in our previous study. And also in the intervening period, some other researchers had done other studies in the U.S. The California levels were higher than any of the other U.S. levels.
Now, the culprit there was California law, wasn't it?
And right, that's what. So we also looked at some blood levels that are collected by the Centers for Disease Control that allow a sort of a national comparison. We found that Californians have twice the level of these compounds in their blood compared to other folks in the rest of the U.S. And then tied that to a unique California flammability furniture flammability standard. It's a law in California and that says that foam in furniture has to withstand an open flame for 12 seconds without igniting. And it's certain we have furniture here in Massachusetts, in Boston, that meets that standard, and you probably have seen it, the tag on your on furniture that says, like, not to be removed except by consumer, meets California Bureau of Home Furnishings, blah, 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 Technical Bulletin 117. Anyway, that's the law. And that particular regulation, which was enacted in the 70s, essentially drove a huge market for this Penta BDEs, which filled foam, were added to furniture foam, especially in California, but many manufacturers would make their furniture meet that standard throughout the U.S. instead of making two different kinds of furniture. And so those Penta BDE flame retardants have now been banned. They were banned in Europe and banned in several states, and eventually the manufacturers withdrew them. But what they did is they substituted some other chemicals for them. And in this new study, the one that we just released this week, what we did is go back to homes 5 years after this change, the same homes that we went to before, and we took new samples, and we measured now about 49 different kinds of flame retardants in the house dust sample. So we went beyond this PBDEs, which have been the focus of study, and we looked at a whole slew of them. And some of the most important ones to keep in mind are
Firemaster 550, right?
Firemaster 550 is one. So Firemaster 550 is the formulation that the manufacturers that withdrew the PBDEs have introduced as a substitute. And what we saw is over the 5 years between 2006 and 2011, we can see the levels of Firemaster 550 going up in these homes, while PBDE levels stay the same or go down slightly.
The PBDE was the one that was in children's pajamas. Is that right?
So then the children's pajamas is a whole another family of these flame retardants, and those are called, so we can call them TRIS, brominated TRIS and chlorinated TRIS. The brominated TRIS was used in children's pajamas in the 1970s until it was banned because it was determined to be a carcinogen.
So now we have this new one. So then we had the PBDEs, and then we got the Firemaster 550.
Yep.
And you're finding it turning up at the same rates as whatever you found before? Something like 75% of the homes you tested?
We did find the brominated TRIS that's been banned from the kids' pajamas, and we also found its sibling, let's call it, chlorinated TRIS, which is also carcinogen, and that was one of the chemicals that we found in the highest concentrations in the homes. One of our major conclusions really from this research, in terms of stepping back from the details, is that the manufacturers of flame retardants have consistently, used products that are known to be carcinogens or hazardous in some other way, and substituted either known bad chemicals essentially, or chemicals that nobody has tested to see what they do.
So you get one, you get rid of one, then you get another. Right. What kind of products contain this stuff? We're talking about couches, mattresses, rugs, toys, electronics, cosmetics. Why would you put flame retardants in cosmetics? I saw that reference. Brominated vegetable oil and Mountain Dew and Gatorade. Is that bromine? Yeah. Is that chlorine? Is that a flame retardant?
Those are, it's not. It's like a close cousin. I'm actually not an expert on the brominated vegetable oil, but I did read that also, right, and it caused my eyebrows to go up.
Mine as well. But you focused on dust in this study, so how does this stuff? So we're surrounded by these products, right?
Doesn't matter, right? Does it? you know, what we are. We have the products. So some of the main sources would be the foam inside foam furniture, and foam padding underneath wall-to-wall carpet. You know, that foam that they put underneath. Yeah,
I have it in my house.
Yeah, that is the main source of many of these. Electronics, the plastics of electronics also contain flame retardants, but usually they're and then some textiles. You can still, kids' pajamas are often still treated. They're treated with, not with brominated tris, because that's not allowed on there, but they're treated with other flame retardants. So there are a lot of uses, and there's a couple interesting. One thing to think about is why do we, obviously we don't want to burn up, and we don't want to have dangerous fires. And so,
can we talk about the role of big tobacco? Did you see the study in the Chicago Tribune, that series?
The Chicago Tribune did an amazing expose.
Yes, and everyone should look for it.
Anyone who's interested in this topic should really read it. It's a fantastic set of articles about showing that since cigarettes were starting a lot of fires, and there was some pressure on tobacco to produce fire-safe cigarettes, and tobacco industry was worried that they wouldn't be able to produce fire-safe cigarettes, essentially cigarettes that would go out if you stopped drawing on them, that people wouldn't like them. And so,
like American spirits.
Yeah, they instead decided to push for laws that would make furniture less flammable. And in doing this, they partnered with the three large companies that produce flame retardants, and they set up a front group called Citizens for Fire Safety that looked like a group that was trying to enact good fire safety regulations, but in fact was bankrolled just by these three big flame retardant manufacturing companies, and was being worked on by tobacco lobbyists to essentially try to get the California standard or similar standards enacted in more and more places, increasing their market for their flame retardants.
Right, and apparently they also they mobilized the Association of Top Fire Officials to campaign for the use of fire retardants, even though it made fires more dangerous for firefighters. Millions, we're talking about millions of dollars here. I'm looking for the study now. I'm not actually finding the numbers, but I wonder if you could say something about the effect that this kind of money has had on regulation. And who actually regulates these chemicals?
Yeah. Two points that are important. One is that this, over the last 5 years, particularly since the PBDEs have been banned and gotten more attention, there's been a movement to try to modify or change TB-117 in California and make it change the standard so that it won't require use of these chemicals. It might provide for alternate means of achieving fire safety. And apparently what I've read is that the flame retardant industry spent over $23 million trying to successfully fighting any effort to modify TB-117. However, California Governor Jerry Brown has now made a pledge to take a look at it. So that is hopeful.
Isn't there the 1976 Toxic Substances Control Act?
That's the
national law, isn't it?
That's the national law, and that's actually, I think, really a very important focus, especially coming about out of our study, where we measured 44 different flame retardant chemicals, and really most of them have a pretty bad safety profile if you dig up if you dig up the research about it. And so why do we have all of these chemicals? Why is it okay for companies to put, you know, very large quantities of these chemicals into consumer products to the point that they get into house dust? In fact, we found chemicals in house dust, carcinogens and neurotoxins and developmental toxins at levels above what EPA guidelines would, EPA kind of health safety guidelines. So it's not that these exposures are inconsequential or don't matter, which is what the American Chemistry Council loves to say in their defense. In fact, that the exposures are at a level of concern, you know, for human health. And a study that just came out 2 weeks ago from California found that moms' penta PBDE levels in their blood during pregnancy.
That's the flame retardant, right?
That's that flame retardant. Were associated with their kids' IQ, attentiveness, and motor behavior. So that's one of the biggest studies so far that's shown, you know, actually shown health effects in a human population, which is not that easy to do.
Could you just say, we have time for maybe one last question, and I'd like to go exactly to that point where you said it's not that easy to do. The American Chemistry Council, which is the largest industry group representing the producers of these companies, basically said about your study, there's no data in this study that indicates that levels of flame retardants would cause any human health problems. Could you respond to that?
It's just wrong. We had two levels of evidence that they're of health concern. One is that the levels in dust are actually higher than EPA health-based guidelines for soil at Superfund sites. And second, that this recent study showed that flame retardant levels in moms and their kids are associated with IQ in the kids, decrements in IQ, the higher the mom's exposure was.
Well, could you say something about the difficulty of proving you know, the difficulty of your work, which the focus of your work is researching the effect of environmental toxins on women's health, particularly links between these toxins and breast cancer. And that has to be challenging because it's not a controlled study in a laboratory or something, right?
Right. Well, here we get to, you know, standards of evidence and what is considered evidence and what kind of evidence is achievable. And I guess since we don't have much time, I think the main point I would make to listeners is that often you'll hear medical professionals as well as the American Chemistry Council, you know, when somebody says, I'm concerned about that such, you know, flame retardants cause this or that or, you know, IQ, they'll say, well, there's no evidence. In fact, what would that evidence look like? What kind of evidence could we get? And when we talk about medical evidence, it's often from a randomized clinical trial, and that would mean taking, you know, a cohort and a bunch of newborn babies, and half of them we would expose them at birth, and half of them we wouldn't expose them,
great,
and then we'd follow them to see what would happen. Well, we don't do that kind of experiment. That's not an ethical experiment to do with an environmental pollutant. So we have to do observational studies, and so the evidence looks a little different. And in some cases, we're not going to ever be able to do an observational study that's going to be convincing. When breast cancer is a multifactorial disease, many factors contribute to it, and it could be exposures in utero that affect breast cancer risk 60, 70 years later. So we need to use other methods, and in particular use predictive toxicology. Let's look at animal models and see what we see, that how chemicals act in the animal models, and make decisions based on that to protect people.
Thank you for joining us, Ruthanne Rudell. It's been a pleasure to have you.
Thank you. Take care.
Take care. Thanks again. We've been speaking with Ruthanne Rudell, Senior Scientist of Environmental Toxicology and Director of Research at the Silent Spring Institute, which authored a new study in the journal Environment, Science, and Technology reporting high concentrations of toxic flame retardants in American homes. For Sounds of Dissent, I'm Amy Grunder.